To the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. And I'll ask you to stand. Leviticus 19. Leviticus chapter 19 at verse 1 it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall fear every man his mother." Let's pray. Glorious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your goodness, your blessings upon us this day. And Lord, we come this day first and foremost to honor you, to glorify you, for it is the Lord's day and we do honor you. But Lord, it's also a day that in the country that we remember our mothers. And Lord, even thy word declares that we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. And so we seek to honor the mothers this morning, O Lord, and that you would bless, encourage us, for it is the hardest job in the whole world is to be a mother. Yea, the highest calling of any vocation, to be a mother. And so, Lord, we ask that you would bless your word this morning. We ask all this in your blessed and holy name. Amen. Please be seated. I would like to speak this morning on the subject of reverencing your mother. Reverencing your mother. Again, we celebrate today the tradition known as Mother's Day, and we do seek to honor mothers today and not lose sight, again, as we said in our prayer, that it is the Lord's Day, and we gather to honor first and foremost the Lord Jesus Christ. I speak on the topic because we are commanded by God to honor our parents. Again, in the Decalogue, in Exodus 20, at verse 5, it does say, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days, may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And thus we have a need to honor, to recognize mothers. Now, this text in Leviticus 19:3, we do have an interesting phrase as it speaks about honoring mothers. Again, it reads in verse 2 and 3 again, "Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them," and we could even rephrase it by saying, "Speak unto all the congregation at Hilburn Drive Grace Baptist Church, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall fear every man his mother." Ye shall fear every man his mother, and of course his father. "Keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." And without question, our text teaches us that God also honors mothers. I want you to notice that in most places in the Bible, God always makes mention, when God makes mention about parenting, we always usually read about what? About the father first. Even from the very beginning in creation, when God instructed Adam and Eve to be fruitful, God says unto them in Genesis 2:24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife." Then, of course, in the Decalogue that we just read, the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." And then even in Ephesians 6, where we're instructed regarding children, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother," which is the first commandment with promise, "that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on earth." And so when we read similar texts, amazing that the father is always mentioned first. But here, God in his great wisdom and his understanding placed the mother first to perhaps clearly show the importance of the mother in the family unit. Again, this passage, God puts the mother first, and therefore teaching us that the Lord showed that mothers are very important in society. The Hebrew word for fear in our text, it said, you shall fear every man his mother. Well, it just happens to be that same Hebrew word. You should know it by now, yare, which is the same Hebrew word in Ecclesiastes 12:13, where it speaks about a holy, godly, reverential fear. Fear every man. Ye shall fear every man his mother. It is that godly fear, filial fear, that we should have in reverencing our parent. The word fear, of course, means to respect here, to revere, to reverence, yea, honor mothers and, of course, fathers. Hence the title to my message, Reverencing Your Mother. Within the context, we see that God is speaking to the Israelites, his people, and he says three specific things. He says, one, be ye holy. Two, fear your mother and your father. And three, keep my Sabbath, which includes, no doubt, the aspect of holy days. Notice that fear your mother is sandwiched between holiness and keeping the Sabbath. What does this mean? Well, I suggest to you that I think that God is serious when he speaks about honoring and reverencing your mother, your parents, as it relates to our walk before him. First, those who name the name of Christ, we must walk holy before God. Then we must honor / fear our mothers and fathers. And then keep the Sabbath, and in our day would be going to God's house. That is the church. It means that the whole structure of society is relevant for these three things. For our sanctification to make an impact in society, the honoring of our parents, and then going to God's house. Because I remind you that the church is only as strong as the family. And as goes the family, so goes society. You see, what maintains society is our walk before God, the family structure, and the church. And I believe this is the idea that God is instructing us there from Leviticus 19. And of course, this did apply to Israel in their day and time when they would worship at the tabernacle. I would also say that the mentioning of mothers and fathers here is perhaps to remind us that parents are the first earthly image of God in the aspect of submitting to authority. Interesting is that in the Ten Commandments also, honoring your parents is listed fifth in order immediately after the first four commandments regarding what? Our relationship with God. Again, what does this tell us? If nothing else, it tells us that if we're going to worship God uprightly, in the sense of the word, we need to honor our first earthly authority, which is our parent. Fear your mother, fear your father. And that speaks of a honoring, respectful, revering of our parents. And so God takes honoring mothers and fathers very seriously. And since today is Mother's Day, we're going to focus on mothers. And in saying that, I do not want us to, in any form, shape, or manner, consider for a moment the aspect of Mother's Day as the means of mere commercialism. Okay? No, we want to consider it from the perspective of, we do not want to consider it from the perspective of the feminist movement, which is unbiblical and rejects God's true role for women. I'm sorry to say this, but it is true that the sacredness of motherhood has been lost in our society. And I believe that Christianity has caved in to the assault of true Christian values regarding motherhood from the feminist movement. And I remind you again, just because a culture or society has its own agenda, its own definition of the family, or even concerning the duty of a wife or mother, it does not take away what the Bible has to say regarding a wife and a mother. Now, again, I know that some of you who are mothers have to work, and I understand that. And that's fine, and that Some have to work. But again, it doesn't take away from what the Word of God teaches or the truth regarding the role of a wife and a mother. We need to remind ourselves that God's unchanging standard is spelled out for us in the Bible. Not only for mothers, but also for fathers, and even those of us who name the name of Christ, that we are to walk in a specific way. I find it interesting that in the book of Titus, when Paul is encouraging the aged men and the aged women, he says in Titus 2, verses 4 and 5, I'll read this to you. If you want to turn, that's fine, but I can read it to you. It said, Titus 2, 4, speaking of the aged women, it says, that they teach the young women to be sober, not in a classroom sitting, but by example. There's a different Greek word here, okay? That they teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. So it's speaking of mothers, to love their children, to be discreet. And then God says, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Again, it is the word of God that tells wives that they should be keepers at home. And just because we live in this 21st century, or because this cultural world that we live in Western society, it does not take away from the teaching of the Word of God. And I emphasize again, I know some of you have to work, and I understand that. And I'm not trying to impose any unwarranted guilt upon you. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. And mothers, let me just say this. If you think it's hard to be a wife and a mother, I suggest you go read up the list of the qualifications for a pastor. Yes. As a whole, it is hard to be a Christian, because our walk and biblical mindset is contrary to the world's mindset, which always creates issues. Now, notice that Paul does not only say that wives and mothers should be keepers at home, but interesting, he also says that mothers and wives should be discreet and chaste. Therefore, wives and mothers, if you're constantly belaboring your husband to others by complaining of their fault, you're not being discreet. You're not being chaste. No, you're causing the word of God to be blasphemed. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 14 verse 1 says, speaking of the mother and the wife, every wise woman builded her house, but the foolish woman plucked it down with her hands. So wives, mothers, you should be building up your house, which includes your husband, not beating them down with the tongue by complaining their faults to others. Instead of gossiping about your husband, why don't you pray for your husband? Thus, the duty of aged women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good obedience to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, we must also be reminded that motherhood is a vital part of God's design, even from creation. In Genesis 1, we're told in verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over fish of the sea, the fowl, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I can assure you that at creation, when God created Adam and Eve, there were no gender issues at creation. It was a male and it was a female. Not a male and male, and not a female and female. No, it clearly established the Bible, a male and a female. God created the first family as a man and as a woman. A husband and a wife, a man and a woman. We all owe our existence to God. And also the first couple, Adam and Eve, no doubt were to set the example to follow as the only ordained pattern for the most blessed intimate in all human relationship, which is marriage. Adam also understood the calling. Adam understood the calling of his wife's divine role. Because in Genesis 3:20, it says that Adam called his wife's name Eve. Why? because she was the mother of all living. The mother of all living. And I think that society in general needs to relearn biblical values of motherhood if we are to find true respect for human life. Because without true biblical motherhood, the heart is gone from the home and society suffers because of this void. And no, it does not take a village to raise children. It takes the heart of a God-fearing mother to raise children. The book of Judges ends in a very sad note. And the last verse of the book of Judges tells it all. It says in Judges 21:25, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in their own eyes." It sounds like America, where everyone wants to do that which is right in their own eyes. God help us. You see, that era in the day of Judges needed godly mothers, and no doubt this 21st century needs godly mothers also. There's many examples in the Bible regarding the virtues of motherhood, but I believe Proverbs 31 gives us that clear detail of a godly mother, and I'd like to read that blessed text. Turn there with me, if you don't mind. I'm not going to make much comments because I've preached on this before from Proverbs 31. But I just want to remind us again of the words that Solomon spoke of his own mother. And we'll try not to read the whole text because it is lengthy, but I just want to read a few things. Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good, not evil, all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchandise or the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maiden." Drop down to verse 23. "Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the land." Drop down to verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters had done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hand, and let her own work praise her in the gate. And I beg to remind you again, in verse 30, when it said, "But a woman that feareth the Lord," it is the Hebrew word, a form of yada, it is yada, which is in the Hebrew an adjective, which is describing the mother of her holy reverential fear toward God. As mentioned earlier, as society goes, as goes the home, so goes society. In other words, if you destroy the family structure, you will destroy society. And we see this a lot in our day, where society is so unstable. We see so many attacks upon the family, upon authority. Interesting, I saw a sermon entitled M-A-D-D, big bold letters. And of course, I thought, that's a strange title for a sermon, because you know that basically means mothers against drunk driving. I said, so I started reading things, that's an interesting title for a sermon. I said, but the pastor who wrote that put a new twist to it that I said, ooh, I love this. I wish I would have come up with that myself, but I didn't. He beat me to it. But M-A-D-D, Mothers Against Devil's Devices. I love that. And the first thing I thought of course, was there in 2 Corinthians when Paul says, "Let Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices." Though he doesn't use that text, he goes to Genesis 3 about the fall, how Satan deceived Eve and all that. But nonetheless, the idea, mothers against the devices of the devil. I love that. one of his points is this, quote, he, that is the devil would have us disrespect the role of the mother. And then he asks, why? Because the devil knows how godly motherhood as a whole parenthood is part of God's perfect plan for the family. Then, of course, he uses the text in Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion and so forth, unquote. We know that Satan's first attack on the human race began against a future mom. Again, Eve, whose name basically means the mother of all living or living, was Satan's first target. In other words, Satan understood, destroy the parent and you destroy the home. And thus, you destroy the human race. But thanks be to God, a godly mom can destroy the enemy also by her prayers. But of course, sadly, we do live in a upside down world. Because our world tells us, motherhood is a hindrance. Children are a burden. They want to hold you back. I mean, if you want to do something in your life, especially if you want the good things of life, you need to have a successful career as a woman. So, what do they offer women? Deliverance from the burdens of children. Not only that, but it's so sad that we live in a day and time that our school systems talk about motherhood in terms of a biological function, not in terms of character development. But please understand, mothers, that God never looked for those who have the most money to do his work. No, he looks for the mother who is most willing to be used by him. One of the reasons, I believe, because mothers by nature are nurturing and loving and caring. And our society and our kids, they don't need rich mothers. They don't need career moms. No, they need mothers who demonstrate qualities of love, of giving, of care, concern. And the most important thing, mothers, that a child wants from you is your time. Give them your time. Please remember that not only does God consider it a high honor for you to be a mother, but whether children understand that or not, they do look to you as a mother, as a guide, as a guidance. And therefore, motherhood is a blessed privilege. And so, mothers, I encourage you this morning that the most important role, that the most important role, the most important title, the most important job in the world is motherhood. Don't get concerned with political correctness, that it attacks the position of the stay-at-home mom. No, because you are fulfilling the role that God called you to. There is no vocation more important or higher in the world than motherhood. And again, I reemphasize, I know that some of you have to be working mothers. And all I'm saying, that even as a working mother, do not neglect your duty as a mother. Because I know you get home tired, just like father. But it's very important to give your children that time. Again, we're living in a day when being a mother is not honored as it once was. Sometimes the demands for motherhood can be overwhelming, especially in a time like ours, nearly impossible to even keep up with the influences that will teach our children bad things. I mean, you think about the computers, technology, smartphones. Mothers, you have to be on the ball watching over your children. Mothers, you cannot be oblivious to what's going on in the heart of your children. And what mothers need to also understand is that when God gave them children, he gave them children to make them make you a missionary at home. He gave you children so you can speak to them about God. Your home is a missionary field. This is first and foremost. This is important. This is, I have to say, this is more important than the three R's, huh? Writing, reading, and arithmetic. You see, This is your God-given duty to instruct and raise children in the admonition of the Lord, in the ways of the Lord. And again, the influence of the feminist movement has caused the status of motherhood to decline because women are encouraged to follow a career, not the raising of their children. But mothers, be reminded again, you have a mission at home. You have a ministry at home. Okay? This is the most important job you will ever hold. And I'm sorry to inform you, it's not your career, but it's in the raising of your children. Again, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And again, I know that mothers, some of you have to work. I understand that, but it does not take away from the most important job, and that is being a mother and raising your children. But, of course, this is also the duty of the fathers, first and foremost. But mothers are the ones that usually spend more time with their children than the fathers. And then in the sad case, then you have a weak father who doesn't take up his role. And therefore, the mother, yes, the mother is the one that has to teach the children. Again, Western culture, ideology regarding women and professional career life does not remove the role of motherhood given to us in the Bible. So please remember, mothers, that there is not a more influential or powerful role on earth than that of being a mother. Never undervalue the calling to motherhood, because without you as a mother, your children would have a hard time. So therefore, you must be that strong woman, even a supportive, being supportive of your husband, because without this, the family structure would not survive. And sadly, it seems to hinge upon the mother. Mothers, you need to be aware that you are an important key role to have, for us to have a healthy society, a healthy culture, a healthy home, yea, a healthy church. One writer makes this point. He says, quote, "The society that unravels the marriage union will unravel its children. The best plan for God, for motherhood, is a committed permanent bond called marriage. Motherhood would revive another generation if it was based on God's foundation," unquote. And I understand that sometimes mothers, they feel that, you know, it's hard. And it is hard because you have the hardest job of all, being a mother. And then, of course, sometimes as a mother, you, because of the political correctness and the culture we live in, you feel that you almost should apologize for being at home, for just being a housewife. But again, it is the highest calling, yea, the noblest calling from God. Another writer makes this very important point to help mothers who sometimes might feel inferior when in a crowd of professional career women. He says this, I found this very interesting. And ladies, pay attention. You might want to memorize part of this. He says, quote, "When I was in the faculty of the University of Pennsylvania, there were gathering from time to time where the faculty members brought their spouses. Inevitably, some woman lawyer or psychiatrist or socialist would confront my stay-at-home wife with a question. And what is it that you do, my dear? My wife, who is one of the most brilliant, articulate individuals I know, had a great response. She would answer, I am socializing to Homo sapiens in the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition, in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the teleological prescribed utopia inherent in the eschaton. When she followed with that, she asked the lawyer, and what is it you do? The person's answer, a lawyer, just wasn't overpowering. Unquote. I love that. I love that. You need to memorize that. That's a good answer. Okay? I love that. Our mothers taught us many things. I decided to copy a few things here. Our mother taught us about medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to stay that way. Our mother taught us about humor. When the lawnmower cuts your toes off, don't come running to me. Our mother taught us about logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to go to the store with me. Our mothers taught us about genetics. You're just like your father. Our mothers taught us about our roots. Do you think you were born in the barn? Our mothers taught us about receiving. You're going to get it when we get home. Our mother taught us of the importance of becoming an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. Our mothers taught us about wisdom of age. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. But I would have to say, my mother taught me about prayer. She used to tell me quite often, you better pray that your father doesn't get home right now. So yes, amazing what our mothers teach us. I've quoted this before, and I want to quote it again. I think it's been a couple of years or so since I'd read this, but it's the title by Bobby Pinagro, who penned a little poem, a little phrase here that he called it, "The Meanest Mother in the World." I had the meanest mother in the world. While other kids ate candy for breakfast, I had to eat cereal. I had to eat eggs and toast. While others had Cokes and candy for lunch, I had to eat a sandwich. As you guess, my supper was different than the other kids, but at least I wasn't home. Excuse me, at least I wasn't alone in all my suffering. My sister and my two brothers had the same mean mother as I did. I am nearly ashamed to admit it, but she actually spanked us. Not once, but each time we had a mind of our own and did as we pleased. That poor belt was used more in our seat than it was to hold up daddy's pants. Can you imagine someone actually spanking a child just because he or she disobeyed? Now you can begin to understand why she's a mean mother. We had to wear clean clothes and take a bath. The other kids wore the same clothes for days and didn't shower. We reached the heights of insults because she made our clothes herself just to save money. Why, oh why, do we have to have a mother who made us feel different than our friends? The worst of it is yet to come. We had to get to bed by 9 each night and get up early the next morning. We couldn't sleep in till noon like our friends. So while they slept, my mother actually had the nerve to break the child labor law. She made us work. She made us wash dishes, make beds, learn to cook, and all sorts of cruel things. I believe she laid awake all night thinking, what mean things can I do to my children? She always insisted about telling us the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, even if it killed us, and it nearly did. My mother was a complete failure as a mother. Out of 4 children, a couple of us attained higher education, but none of us has been arrested, divorced, or beaten his mate. Each of my brothers served his time in the service of his country. And whom do we have to blame for this terrible way we turned out? You're right, our mean mother. Look at the things we miss. We never got to march in a protest parade, nor take part in a riot or burn draft cards. And a million and one things that our friends got to do. She forced us to grow up early. She taught us to be God-fearing, educated, and honest adults. But at the end, I thank God. He gave me the meanest mother in the world. Unquote. I love that. Because I had one of those mamas. And I'm thankful if I did. I found a list of the 10 most mamamisms. And this is copied. Number 10, don't forget to wash your hands. Number 9, don't put that in your mouth. You don't know where it's been. Number 8, if your friends jump off the bridge, would you jump off also? Number 7, if you don't have something good to say, don't say anything at all. Number 6, never eat or drink after anyone. Number 5, and everybody knows this one, always wear clean underwear in case you get in an accident. Number 4, close the door. You were not born in a barn. Number 3, but, yes, ma'am. Number two, don't cross your eyes. They might stay that way. Number one, put on a sweater. I'm cold. Gypsy Smith, who was a British evangelist in the mid-1800s, he said, quote, if we are ever to beat the devil, we must beat him with the cradle. How true. And since the hand that rocks the cradle, is the hand of motherhood, therefore mothers hold in their hand the supreme opportunity of moving the world for God. That's so true. Read this joke from a young pastor who just starting the ministry after finishing college. He says, quote, as we began to pastor our first church, my wife Lori and I found we were going to have a third child. Several weeks later, Lori was going through her clothes, which no longer fit. Watching her was our five-year-old son, and she asked, Mom, are you going to have a baby? Are you going to have to wear eternity clothes? Another one said, one of the mothers in our church put her son to bed on the eve of his fifth birthday. She was trying to communicate that birthday idea to him. She says, Kevin, this is the last night of your fourth night that you're going to be 4 years old. Do you understand that? Kevin was ready to communicate with his hands. For a full year, he had shown people four fingers that he was 4 years old. And now he was going to add the thumb. Seeing his four fingers, his mother nodded and said, when you go to sleep tonight, you're going to be 4 years old. But do you know how old you're going to be in the morning when you wake up? Kevin nodded enthusiastically. He added a thumb to his four fingers and said, tomorrow I'll be a handful. Unquote. I love that. A Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with her 5- and 6-year-old. And after explaining the commandment to honor their father and honor their mother, she asked, is there a commandment that teaches how to treat our brothers and sisters without missing the beat? A little boy answered, yes, ma'am, there is. Yes, sir, there is. Thou shalt not kill. At Sunday school, they were teaching how God created everything, including human beings. Little Johnny seemed especially intent when they told him how Eve was created out of one of Adam's ribs. Later in that week, his mother touched him laying down on his side and said, are you ill, Johnny? Are you okay, Johnny? Johnny, what's the matter? Little Johnny responded and said, oh, Mom, I have pain in my rib. I think I'm going to have a wife. Unquote. Amazing what children say to their mother. So precious and amazing. On a serious note, some of you know, have heard of R.A. Torrey. As a matter of fact, I put some of his quotes on Facebook, and I shared this for those of you who still have lost children. Very interesting story. Quote, when Dr. R.A. Torrey was a young man, he had no faith in God or the Bible. His mother, however, was a devout Christian who constantly prayed for his conversion and often witnessed to him. One day he said to her, I don't want to hear about my sins. I don't want to hear about your prayers. I'm going to leave and not bother you anymore. And so with tear-filled eyes, mother followed him to the gate and pleaded with him to change his mind. But he would not be detained. Frantically, she cried, son, you're going the wrong way. When you come to the end of your life, to the end of your rope, and everything seems hopeless, call upon your mother's God with all your heart, and he will help you. After Torrey left home, he went deeper into the ways of sin. One night in the hotel room, all alone, unable to sleep, weary from the problems pressing on every hand, he decided to take his life. He took the gun. He took the gun he kept in his drawer to end his life. And just as he reached for the weapon, he remembered his mother's last word. Convicted by the Holy Spirit, he fell on his knees and cried out, oh, God of my mother, if there's such a God, I need your help. If you give it to me, I'll follow you. In the moment his darkened heart was illuminated, peace filled his soul. Lord, save them. Later, R.A. Torrey became an outstanding evangelist who led thousands to Christ. Are you discouraged because your children or teenagers are not interested in the things of God? Keep praying for them. Keep loving them. And keep living a consistent life before them. Never underestimate the power of a mother's prayer, the power of parental witness. Unquote. And so mothers, do not lose sight of the most important calling in the world, motherhood. Do not underestimate your role as a mother. Remember that in God's eye, motherhood is the most important calling, higher than any call in life. I remind you of the faithful words of Paul to Timothy, because I know some of you are also now grandmothers. And so I want to encourage not only mothers, but also grandmothers. And so Paul writes to Timothy of the faithfulness of his mother Eunice, and of course, faithfulness of grandma Lois also. In 2 Timothy 3:15 it says, "And that from a child doth it learn the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus." In other words, Timothy could not remember a day or time when he did not know the scriptures. I can't enter into that. I was 25 years old before I read anything in the Bible. My parents weren't Christians. So those of you who are young and in church this morning, don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted that everybody's raised like you. No, count it a privilege that you, as a baby, have been raised in the scriptures. It is a blessing indeed. As a matter of fact, Charles Spurgeon says, quote, "Babies receive impressions long before we are aware of the fact. A special advantage ground is lost when babyhood is left uncultured. The Holy Scriptures may be learned by children as soon as they're capable of understanding anything. It is a very remarkable fact, which I have heard asserted by many teachers, that children would learn to read out of the Bible better than from any other book. Give us the first 7 years of a child, and we may defy the world, the flesh, and the devil to ruin that immortal soul." Unquote. I remember when I used to sell the encyclopedias, or World Book Encyclopedias, one of my clothes would be on another set that was called the Childcraft set. And my clothes to get the sale was to inform the parents with younger children that a child age 3 and 4, that is the highest retention level they will ever have in their whole life. And so if that was good for worldly literature, how much more to the things of God, the scriptures. It is easier at this age, when their hearts, when they're young, when their hearts are yet soft and impressionable, to mold their hearts. Because if you don't mold their hearts, somebody else will. Their hearts are still pliable. It's like planting a small tree that looks like a twig, and it'll bend in either direction. The wind will blow it either way if you don't take care of it. So mold their heart while they're young, mothers. Don't ever lose sight of that. And I love the words of Daniel Webster when he said, quote, "From the time that I could be at my mother's feet and upon my father's knee, I first learned to lift verses and sacred writing. They've been my daily study. If there be anything in my style of thought to be commended, the credit is due to my kind parents instilling me the mind of an early love for scripture." Yes, Daniel Webster of the dictionary. The following is quoted from Austin Priest's webpage. It says, "Godly grandmothers. A little boy described grandmothers like this. A grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own, so she loves everybody else's. Grandmas don't have to do anything but be there. If you take a walk with grandma, they slow down past leaves and caterpillars. They can answer questions like why dogs hate cats and why God isn't married. When they read to you, they don't skip parts or mind that it's the same story again. everyone should have a grandmother because they're the only grown-ups who have time for you, unquote. I love that. And that's not speaking of all the parents in here. No, I just thought that was very cute. Also from Austin Precept, quote, Timothy is the prime example of how a young life can be greatly influenced by a grandmother, especially if she is a godly woman. The idea to stand firm. And Paul reminded Timothy of the fate of his grandmother. It is hard to imagine her playing with him when he was little, teaching him the scriptures, putting him to bed, hugging kisses with childlike prayers, and in the process, nurturing the faith of her grandson, unquote. One writer said, tips for grandmothers. Pray for your grandchildren. Play with your grandchildren. Pass your faith to your grandchildren. Amen and amen to that. Well, again, mothers, God gave you a high calling. And God instructed us what we should do with our children. Timothy, by confession, by Paul says, or Paul said that the word of God is able to make him wise. And isn't that what we want from our children? Even to the second, third, and fourth generation. Would to God that all mothers were like Lewis and Enos. What a world this would be, huh? And so mothers, don't ever forget, you do influence your children. This is the greatest blessing you can have, is to be a mother. And therefore, the greatest gift you can give your children is to be a godly mother. Let's end with a quote. I shared this before from Dennis DeHaan, and we'll be done. When a team of Christians visited Starpol, Russia in 1994, to hand out Bibles, a local citizen said he recalls seeing Bibles in the old warehouse. They had been confiscated in the 1930s when Stalin was sending believers to the gulags. Amazingly, the Bibles were still there. Among those who showed up to load them into the truck was a young agnostic student just wanted to earn a day's wage. But soon he slipped away from the job to steal a Bible. A team member went looking for him and found him sitting in a corner weeping. Out of the hundreds and hundreds of Bibles, he had picked one up that bore the handwritten signature of his own grandmother. Persecuted for her faith, she had no doubt prayed often for her family in her city. God used that grandmother's Bible to convict that young man. God has no grandchildren. We must each become first-generation believers through personal faith in Jesus. But the devotion to God by a grandparent or parent is a powerful ally of the Holy Spirit to help bring the children to Christ. Paul encouraged Timothy by recalling the faith of his grandmother and mother. Although Timothy's faith was his own, it was deeply linked to theirs. What an admonition to all of us who are parents and grandparents to be faithful, unquote. And so mothers, may God grace you to be faithful mother. And that begins with being in Christ. If you're outside Christ this morning and you're a mother, come to him this very moment. That he would save you. That he would make you a Lewis. That he would make you a Lois, a Eunice. So that you can raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And those of you who are mothers in Christ, be faithful. Continue. Persevere. Don't give up. Continue to pray. Because the hardest job in the world is being a mother, but it is the best job anyone could have, a faithful mother. And so children, remember, the Bible does say, ye shall fear your mother. Every man shall fear his mother. That is, honor, respect, revere, and reverence your mothers. Mothers, as we conclude, I want you to walk out of here this morning with your heads held up high because God gave you the highest calling he can give any person and never lose sight of that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again. We thank you for the instruction of your holy word. We thank you for mothers, Lord. They have the highest calling of any person. And we know it can be so demanding. It can be so tiresome. It can be so frustrating. It can be so many things. But, oh, Lord, help mothers to be faithful, to be persevering, to be praying, to continue, and never lose sight, never lose faith in what our great God can do. And so, God, bless the mothers this morning in the auditorium. And thus we ask this in your blessed and holy name. Amen.